November 5th, Jesus says, when a man, even when far from knowledge of the true God, knows, by the elevation of an upright soul, that there must be a God, and in his heart, raises an altar to the unknown God of whom Paul speaks, this man is much closer to God than those who, after having been instructed about the existence of God, have wanted to apply human theories to God's wondrous works. Even more idolatrous, and even more accursed than those adoring a star or an animal are those who worship their thought, or the thought of other shrimps like themselves. The former are savages and involutes. The latter, on the other hand, are civilized people who become savages. Similar to those who spontaneously mutilate themselves, they amputate their noblest and holiest part, and throw it away as an inferior part. Look at the things of God with honest eyes and honest thought. You will see God shining there. Why examine the laws of lives, and the secrets of the universe, and not confess previously that this universe and these laws are the undeniable proof of a God? But is all your progress capable of increasing the meadow which gives you its greenness by a single blade of grass? But is your science able to generate a new animal by departing from those laws which God has introduced, since creating them as males and females? But, in spite of your experiments, which fill you with vainglory, are you able, I won't say to create life, but to halt death? No. You are able to fertilize the eggs of the simplest among the millions of existing animals. You are able to make the beating of an embryonic heart continue. But you are unable to maintain the beating of a dying heart when God tells the dust to become dust again, and the soul to return to Him. Without seed you are unable to make a single blade of grass sprout. With all your electricity you are unable to give energy back to a dead body. You are able only to generate diseases and death, massacres and misfortunes. And as you are unable to do this, increasing only confusion on earth and in consciences, so you no longer manage to create in your interior that faith without which error is inevitable. You go astray. You make yourselves religions. But you do not have religion. You love a child, a husband, or a relative more than God. You lose love and respect for God, if He takes them away from you. You love, indeed, you venerate as a God, some unfortunate man who proclaims himself to be a God, and is three times as much mud as you are, and before him, you bend not only your backs that would not be very bad, but your criterion, your conscience, above all. You sin to please him. If I still have mercy on those who sin out of disordered love for a relative, I do not forgive those who sell themselves, and their consciences to a power opposed to God. It is necessary to be sons and daughters of God even against tyrants and accept everything except burning one's soul before the idols of mud. When man loses holy worship of the true God, and falls into idolatry of his peers and inferiors, corrupting in himself the admirable jewel which makes him similar to God, everything in him gets corrupted. And it is not exaggerated to say that the time you are in is a sample of such corruption. It lacks no form of it. To my altars, O false Christians who have a Christian exterior, but are not such in your interior, many come who are not as they should be. And this is bad for man, who ought to be able not to fornicate, and, if the flesh with its voice of blood spurs him, to choose a wife without waiting to become old, but while bringing an uncontaminated body to his wife. Out of justice, for he wants the same from her, and out of charity, for contaminations are not always without danger, but, rather, together with the body, which becomes degraded, and the soul, which is corrupted, there is illness, which so often makes you into lepers, and you communicate this leprosy to your companion and your innocent children. It is twice as bad for the woman, to present herself to God, at God's altar for an oath to all man, with the ugliest stain which can stain a woman. Lying to God, to the man, her companion, and to the world, she rings out a blessing, a protection, and a respect of which she is not worthy, but the blessing upon her turns into punishment, for God is not deceived. On the basis of these sins of hers, she shall be judged a thief and an adulteress. A thief, because she defrauds her companion of his right, and steals from him a trust, of which she is not worthy, and from God a blessing of which she is even less worthy. She steals a mother and rights from those yet to be born, nor in her dead soul does a tremble pass at the thought of those suppressed before the dawn of life, or those abandoned at life's fringes like stray pups. An adulteress, because she who looks at a man with desire already commits adultery, and she has consummated adultery, because she has been unable to master fleshly desire, but has sated herself with it in her depraved hunger. By living in idolatry you become prone to shed blood in individual or collective killings, as are wars, which are almost always and all of the present ones are, nothing but thefts and deceits not justified by any motive. You are thieves of the lands and rights of others, and you are the killers of others' children. You are liars and swindlers on the small scale, and on the large scale. There is no more honesty in life. Man's word is devoid of honor and you thus calmly commit acts of dishonesty. You are corrupt. and thought, and tastes, and works, and the senses. Corrupt right down to the bottom. More than bodies buried for 10 times 4 days. You are corrupt even, and what I have created incorruptible in you. And the spirit, which you have slain, and which is entirely a nest of vermin swarming with filthy thoughts and filthy deeds. Corrupt and corruptors. Of your fellows, big and small. You no longer respect even childhood, before which you indifferently fornicate in word and deed, dirtying lily buds with your depravity they will open already sullied, and will emit deathly odors, more and more, because you increasingly corrupt them. Your art, even art, the sign of your royalty over other animals, the sign of your nature as demigods who from the true God, your creator, have received a spark of his creative thought, even art is corrupt and corrupting, and provokes repugnance in those who, rarer than a solitary mountain pine, are still able to remember heaven and remain intent on heaven. You are unfaithful. Unfaithful to God, to your country, to your family, to your wife, to your children, to your relatives, and to your friends. A Judas who sell everything for a glittering of money and the smile of a female serpent, you don't know any longer even what the faithfulness is which makes the spirit secure in honoring God above all things, and at any cost, which makes the heart heroic in defending the flag, which makes love sincere towards those who love you, and friendship constant towards those entrusting themselves to you. You are quarrelsome. And you turn every occasion into an instrument, to give your beastly instinct a chance, to sink its fangs into your brother's blood. You are liars, for you say you love God, country, and family, but you say it with your lips alone, as you are quick to betray everything and everyone, if you hope to obtain earthly gain therefrom. And since, according to your blind souls, little can come to you directly from God, you make God a springboard, to conquer men's esteem by naming God, putting hypocrisy into practice so as to seem good, and attain what you long for from men deceived by your appearance as lambs, O charlatan egoists full of sin. You are oppressors, fox, and not following my law of charity, it is inevitable that you should fall into the opposite law, and you think the illicit is licit for you provided it serves your purposes. You thus hate your fellows and oppress them, and since those equal to you in hardness of heart are able to make head against you, you oppress the ones who do not react, because they are the children of God, in the true sense of the word. Contaminators of everything you touch. Your look, even your look, is a contamination, men full of obscene appetites. It is a word aimed at seducing, like the hiss of your real father, the infernal serpent. It is thought which gives birth to works which are poison for minds and eyes, whereby the stimulus of your venom descends to disturb sentiments, and rouse the senses. You are inverted in the senses. Never as now, this characteristic, the result of centuries of vice, which makes you inferior to the beasts, is widespread. Nor do you combat it, but, rather, since you are depraved, you take pleasure in it, and exploit it for your purses. You cause the demons disgust, and I won't say anything more out of respect for my spokesman. This produces in you the idolatry of the senses and power which you now practice with such obstinacy, and you abandon yourselves to it without considering that for this and its fruits you will be punished by the one who sees. I am not a god of flesh or clay who is not always present, or who lacks eyes to see. I am he who is, and who is everywhere, and from the height of my throne I observe and note the works of men. I am he who has spoken to give you the way to guide yourselves. I have said what I have said, and over the course of millennia it does not change. I am the eternal, the only God. I am the Lord, your God, of whom there is no copy. I am one in my most holy Trinity. Accursed are those who are not concerned about me, and repudiate me to follow the beast,